Sabbath blessings, everyone. If you can kneel, let's do so in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with your presence on Sabbath day. And thank you for making this Sabbath, our testimony Sabbath, even more a blessing, especially for those that are riding the fence in this truth that you have presented to your people. Thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us, and if we are so worthy, with the latter rain when that day comes. And thank you for blessing our gathering here with a changing of the showbread, so that we have a better understanding of your will and your truth and your word. Thank you for blessing all those on our prayer list, all those that are being mentioned in the text chat, whether they be unspoken or by name. And thank you for giving us those things that we need to stand firm in Christ, which includes faith, courage, discernment, and more love for each other as well as for you. And thank you for bridling my tongue and any tongue that I may speak. We offer this prayer to you in the name of your Son, who is our King, our Savior, and our Lord. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Okie dokie. I want to say happy Sabbath and Sabbath blessings again to everyone. All those on the radio, all those on the phone as well. And those that are going to be listening to these studies later, if in fact you decide to listen on a Sabbath day. And I tell you, I can't wait until 1:30. I just love testimony service, I got to tell you. I like hearing everything the Lord's doing in all your lives. That's why it goes on for so long. We all love doing that. We all love hearing it. So praise his name. Okay, if you're new to online, like on the radio or whatever, and if you've already got on the page where the studies are at, we're on question number 10. I thought it was 4. Yeah, 10. And the study is regarding when all religions unite, which happens to be now. This is pretty neat. Actually, it's been going on since June 26th of 2000, when the One World Church officially began. But the ecumenical charge was obvious from the 1960s when they had the Vatican II Council. So we know what we've been looking at. Because we have eyes that see, we understand Scripture, because we're obedient. And so this question is, of course, touching on the church that has fallen. And the question is, with what was she drunken? And the answer is, of course, Revelation 17, verse 6. Thank you, Brother Gorin. And that verse is, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of martyrs, of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration." And that's not to say that he's like, oh, wow, I want to be like her. No. It's like the devil has changed a lot of the words and how they're defined in today's world, as we all know. And like, take, for example, the word gay, as little as 30 years ago, just meant happy and giddy. And if you look it up in a dictionary, the older dictionaries, that's what it says, but the newer ones will say homosexual. Well, admiration here is like awestruck, or you know, it's a very shocking kind of a thing, because it's so huge. And it's as a matter of fact, I was talking to a brother in the faith who is a new brother in the faith, and keep him in your prayers. I might even mention or share his email in the testimony service later. Well, of course, keep it anonymous. His first name is Michael, and that's all I'll give. But he recently came out of the Catholic Church, and it wasn't until he came across one of the brothers here has a YouTube page, and then he went there and was blessed by all the videos that are on that page. And then it led him to our website, and he was, you know, blessed even more. But the thing is, he realized how everything is connected now. And a lot of people seem to think that, like, when we talk about the Vatican doing the strange things that it does on a global basis, where they're involved in absolutely everything, and the only reason that they have that kind of power is because they sold their souls to Satan. That's what he promised Christ, if you remember. when he was tempting him in the desert about all the kingdoms of the world. He's going to give him all of them if he would bow down and worship him. Well, of course, Jesus refused. And so Satan offers that to mankind, and mankind didn't refuse. But what he didn't show mankind is the same thing he didn't show Jesus. He just showed him all the bells and whistles, all the good times and the peaceful times, and now he doesn't show him the war and the bloodshed and everything like that. But it got even worse than that, because the Vatican is now literally involved in Satanism. They're actually worshiping Satan now. And this is not something anybody has to be convinced of, unless, of course, they're Roman Catholic. But because of the documentation that's been put out, the videos that have been put out that show what they're doing. But most people are blind because they don't read Bibles. What got this young man amazed was how it's so global, or universal, if you will. And yes, the word universal in English is a Latin. In Latin, it's translated as Catholic. And a lot of people have missed that, because Satan is the god of this world, so he's going to do everything he can to get into every aspect of our lives. And that's why when Fran and I left the Catholic Church, it took us 10 years to unlearn that falderal. It wasn't until 10 years later, 1995, that her and I started keeping the Sabbath, because we were falling for all sorts of this crazy stuff that was out there in all the churches. So anyway, two things jump right out here in regards to how this describes in Revelation 17:6, to a T, the Roman Catholic beast in Rome. Number one being, of course, her historic bloodlust. In historic record, we have the following record of fact. It says, and this is from Brief Bible Readings of the Home, page 16, and I've got a ton other, a bunch of other quotes, but I'm just going to share this one, even though they're a little off on the number, but it doesn't matter. No one really knows, no one really cares, because it doesn't matter. If you kill one Christian, that's enough. But it says, for teaching faith contrary to the teaching of the Church of Rome, history records the martyrdom of more than 100 million people. And that, again, that's Brief Bible Readings of the Home, page 16. Now, I, of course, see that number at least five times higher. I don't recall exactly where I read it in Fox's Book of Martyrs. I may have read it on an offline copy of the book, if I recall. I know it was Fox's book. I just, the one I found online that I copied and pasted to my website years ago, because I do have a copy of Fox's Book of Martyrs on the website. I've never read it cover to cover. You can't. There's just no way you could ever read that cover to cover. I don't care how strong of a Christian you are. You just can't do it. How Fox was able to... Well, I would imagine he took time off. It's just like this one video I'm working on now where it shows the rituals, the clothing, and the dogma of the Catholic Church, and then the ritual and the clothing and the dogma of the Satanic Church, and how they're exactly alike. I started that video maybe 6 months ago. And I'm slowly but surely working on it, because I can't sit on Google. I look for the pictures in Google because they have the best search engine there for that. And I'm not looking for anything that's, who cares if they trace me or track me. I really don't care what they're doing. But after 10, 15 minutes of that, it's like, I just can't keep looking at this garbage. Because when you look for the satanic match for Rome, you end up on some pretty disgusting websites. So it's not easy for me to do, and I don't like it. But I want to do it for the people, to let them know what's going on here. And I'm not going to put any links whatsoever in that video. If anybody's got a problem with it and says that I'm lying, well, then that's their problem. I'm not going to help them get worse off, than we all are. So, but again, I may have read it in Fox's Book of Martyrs that the Roman Catholic Church, they killed over 500 million Christians. Now, some Catholics have laughed at that. When I first shared it online in the news groups many, many years ago, before I even had the website, and their favorite comeback was that there weren't enough, there weren't even 500 million people living in the European continent at that time, which is true. But the truth also caused them to walk away in shame when I responded with the facts in historic record that the killing spree didn't happen in 1 year. Because that's what they were going with. They were using that slight bit of deception to say, oh, there weren't 500 million people living in Europe at that time. Well, what time are you talking about? Are you talking about a specific year? And they always come back, yeah. I says, well, now you have never said a specific year. I said it went on for 1,260 years, just like the Bible said. It was then that they stopped laughing, as they knew that 500 million was a very plausible number in that it only equates to around 400,000 Christians killed each year. But it wasn't until many years later. And this is what she's drunk on, and it's not like this is point number one still. It wasn't until many years later when the Vatican started to use the Muslims to kill the Christians that even more Catholics started to realize that, yes, it is very plausible that they killed over 500 million. Because even though Islam claims to be over 1 billion in number today, which I know is a little bit of a fudged number, only a few hundred of them are considered radical, when in fact every single solitary Muslim is radical because they all hold the same book in hand. Whether they want to admit it or not, their book says to kill Christians. So whether you're radical or not, you're in the wrong church. So still, only a few hundred of them kill Christians on a regular basis. And even though the numbers are downgraded in the media to keep the panic down, they claim over 200,000 Christians die each year at the hands of Muslims. And so even the 100 million thing that they come up with here in the brief Bible readings of the home, they're still off by 100 million. Because if it's only 200,000, well, actually 150 million or more. Yeah, 200,000 would equate to 250 million Christians during the 1,260 years. But here's the key. Even though we are in a modern society, and Rome can and does still kill using modern methods to do so, Islam is rather primeval in their methods. So, when you look at how they can kill around 200,000 a year using primitive means, and only a few hundred of them do the killings, and there were a few thousand priests doing this in the Inquisition, Islam, and you got to also keep in consideration that Islam is not a one-world global government power. They're just not there. They don't have their tentacles everywhere like Rome has always had. And they don't have civil authority yet. Well, maybe where they have their little conquerors, you know, where they conquests and stuff like that, where they take over certain states and stuff, nation states. But that's very few and far between. What do they call that when they do a... I can't remember because they just did it recently again. So, since only a few hundred, and they don't have a global authority that actually back, but they do have global authority backing them, but they still aren't that global authority. Killing over 400,000 a year for Rome back during the Inquisition would have been an easy task because there's a lot more than a few hundred Roman Catholic priests that were doing the killing. And they had global power. Well, as far as, you know, civilization spread at that time, it wasn't the entire planet was under Roman rule because, like, for example, in the North America continent, it was just all a bunch of Indians and stuff like that here. And so they didn't even know what was going on out there in the Middle East. They had no clue because they didn't have internet or anything or TV or radio or anything. But it also states this. And this is from the Four Prophetic Empires, the 1845 edition, long before anybody had their chance to, you know, rewrite this stuff. This is on page 248 and 9. It says, under these bloody maxims, and they put in parentheses Roman Catholic decrees to kill the Protestants. It says, those persecutions were carried on after the signal of open martyrdom had been given in the canons of Orleans, where they sanctified it. Say it's okay to kill Christians now, or anybody that doesn't believe in Catholicism. There followed the extirpation of the French Albanese under the form of the Crusades, of a Crusade rather, and then the establishment of the Inquisition, the cruel attempts to extinguish the Swiss Waldenese. And they say cruel attempts Fox goes into a lot of that in his book on some of the ways that they tortured and killed people. They actually use the exact same methods today in Islam. And I even did videos where Islam does the Roman salute, like Hitler did, and they do the 666 hand sign, as well as the trident hand salute of the Vatican guards. The Swiss guards use that Vatican, they call it a trident salute with a two, like your index finger, your middle finger, and your thumb up, and the other two down. That's a trident salute for the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. It's the Trinity of Rome, which is a bogus doctrine. And I have actual pictures, and that's why that video was, they said it was only censored in Israel and Germany to prevent another issue with the Nazis, but I got emails from people in dozens of countries that said, no, you're blocked here too. And then you got I got another thing from YouTube showing, yeah, there was dozens of other countries that they censor our videos. But people are wise at it now. They know how to write on proxy servers, so you can watch my video in any country, including China. All you got to do is write on a proxy server, which I'm not going to explain now. So, going on, it says, so they extinguished the Swiss Waldenese, the martyrdoms of the English Lollards, the cruel wars to exterminate the Bohemians, the burning of Huss, he actually was singing as he was burning to death, and Jerome, and multitudes of other confessors before the Reformation, and afterwards the ferocious cruelties practiced in the Netherlands, the martyrdoms of Queen Mary's reign, the extinction by fire and sword of the Reformation in Spain and Italy, by freed and open persecution in Poland, the massacre of Bartholomew, which, by the way, let me stop here for a minute, this shocked me, and they still have this painting hanging in the Vatican. It's a painting dedicated to the, you know, the massacre at Bartholomew. And I have it on my Words of a Beast page, where the Roman Catholic Pope at the time, I'm trying to remember. Yeah, the Pope of the day more or less told, or no, I think it was just a high priest, like a cardinal or something like that in the Vatican, that was near the nation of Bartholomew, or this one city that they wanted to destroy because it was a bunch of real Christians. And they gave, this priest gave absolution onto the soldiers they were about to send into there, in there to kill everybody with swords. They were just going to slice everybody up like the Islamic people do. But before they went in, the priest told them, get back here before sundown so I can absolve you of the sin of murder, which they knew they were doing what was wrong. And the priest actually, and he believes that he has the power to absolve them of a murder that he told them to commit. That's how crazy this church is. And I actually have a statement where they called it good behavior. The Pope called it good behavior. He was very happy. In other words, in other areas when the report came back to how many people were killed. And they made a painting to acknowledge this wonderful massacre that they did to kill all these Christians. And it's hanging in the Vatican to this day. So that's part of this quote as well. And then going on, it says the perjuries of the French Huguenots and by the Catholic League, where they actually lied, and so, just like they did at Jesus' trial. They said things that weren't true. Well, the Catholics did this with the Huguenots. And going on, it says, and all the cruelties and perjuries connected with the revocation of the Edict of Nantes, which is in France, these are the more open and conspicuous facts which explain the prophecy of Daniel chapter 7, which is in parentheses. They put that there. Besides the slow and secret murders of the Holy Tribunal of the Inquisition. And again, that's from the Four Prophetic Empires, 1845 edition of 248 and 249. And this next one is a very short quote. This came from 1866 from Pope Pius IX on December 6th, 1866. It's the encyclica, Quanta Cura, of that pope. It's, well, I don't know what the Latin term means, but it's just one of those imprimatur things, which means let it be written, which means it's now considered infallible. He said, socialism, communism, clandestine societies, Bible societies, and then pests of this sort must be destroyed by all means. So there you have it. That's where she's drunken. That's why the Bible says she's drunken, or bloodthirsty, if you will, drunken on the blood of the saints. Now, as for point number two, and why John said in the vision that he wondered with great admiration while looking into the future, and no doubt seeing the Vatican drenched in the gold, silver statues, marble floors, and painted walls and ceilings, he would have most assuredly been awestruck at the great wealth of the Vatican City. After all, he came from a time when the only wealth displayed was that of the Romans as well as the temple of the Jews. As grandiose as that was to look upon back then, the Vatican was built centuries later, and modern techniques have made it that much easier to glorify the Pope in all his pomp and circumstances, we all know. And I'm sure that it wasn't just the building and the wealth dripping from it. The pomp and circumstance of the whole thing of the Pope and the prelates no doubt made him very aware of how much power this beast had to do as prophecy says she will do. And just so you know, the angel does comment on how John is marveling about all this. It says in Revelation 17:7, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the seven heads and ten horns. And it goes on from there. So anyway, question number 11. What name is written on the woman's forehead? And we know, for those of you that are new, that a woman in prophecy is a church. That's why it says in the prophecies, I've likened the daughter of Zion unto a comely, delicate woman, and Jesus always mentions his bride being the church. So Revelation 17:5 is the answer, and it says, and upon her forehead was written the name Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, and it's literally put in capital letters. Goren didn't just do that for the sake of doing it. That's how it's posted in Scripture. So many students of prophecy may wonder why the term mystery is declared here when those of us that have eyes that see know who Babylon the Great is. It has to do with another prophetic statement shared in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 to 6 that says this. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind, you know, confused, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. And, man, do we see it now. Today are literally, you know, the end times. The falling away has happened. And it has happened. I watched, well, I would imagine it happened long before I was born, but I know by my own personal experience what I saw as a child, as a teen, as a young adult, and as adult, and how life has gotten progressively more and more disgusting. What they're doing in this world is just so sad. But going on, it says, except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. That was, of course, the Pope. Talking about the Pope. So remember ye not, it says, that when I was yet with you, I told you of these things. And now you know that withholdeth, or now you know what withholdeth that he might be revealed in his time. The historic facts here are that long ago, when the Bible was not as readily available as it is today, and especially when the Vatican made sure it was forbidden for the common man to read, the mystery was intact for thousands of years. Well, actually, 1400 in 79, I think it is. I take that back. It was all the way up until Martin Luther actually translated the Bible in his native tongue, that being of German. And so many assumed the popes and the prelates were holy men because they told them they were. And everybody believed it because they're the only ones that understood the scriptures because they wrote it in a Latin tongue, which is a dead language that no one else understood. So they had to take them on their word. And this is besides the fact that some of them knew firsthand about the sinful activities in Rome. You know, they used to keep that hush-hush because they knew, well, they'd kill you if you mentioned anything. So, as the Catholics of today confirm, if your leaders sanction the lusts of the flesh that you also clamor after, you too will help to keep the mystery well hidden. I mean, how many, like even with the SDAs, it's the same thing. When you tell them and they're in apostasy, they agree. But there's certain things that they will just not mention, even though they know it's wrong what's going on in the church. I was a Catholic 29 years, and I know that certain things that they... I mean, it literally got me to a point where I opened up a Bible and then eventually walked into the private office of my Monsignor, which is pastor in Catholicism, and I started asking a bunch of questions as to why the Bible says this, and we're doing the exact opposite. And so I didn't want to keep the mystery hidden anymore because I knew he knew, and I knew my parents knew some of the stuff that they knew. That like their comeback was on a regular basis, well, look, I can't assume to know more than the religious leaders. And that's how they left it. They would just hang their hat on that and walk away. I says, yeah, but aren't you supposed to read the Bible yourself? I mean, I never said that to them, but that struck me as odd. I think, wouldn't it be better to read the Bible for yourself and find out for yourself if someone's lying to you or not? And so that's what the Bereans did in Acts 17. So that's obvious. The same spirit of the Berean is going to be alive today in God's people. So, but praise God. Eventually, someone who did not want to compromise faith for flesh came along, like guys like Martin Luther. And he opened up the eyes of the people. So Rome thought it would be a good idea to have Luther step up into office. Now, here's where I have to giggle at this because you can see the Lord's hand in this. But Rome is blind. You could see their blindness just by seeing how they couldn't even remove sufficient amount of verses out of their own Bible. I found Jesus Christ in the Douay Rheims. That's a Roman Catholic Bible with over 2,000 verses missing. Yeah, and now the NIV has even more missing. And then the NASB and the RSV and all of them, they got they're corrupted Bibles. It's the defiled bread prophecy. In other words, it was prophesied they would do that. And so I always find it comical that Rome thought it would be a good idea to have Luther step up into the office of teacher, but they had no clue as to how Luther's heart moved towards God. They had no clue because they can't read hearts. And so they literally stuck their foot in that one. I mean, they literally ended up with a spy, if you will, from heaven, right in their own number. And, you know, Luther didn't even realize it until the Lord started moving on him. It happens with every Christian. It finds Jesus Christ in whatever church you're at. You now have the truth deep in your heart that where you're at is not where you should be. So when he eventually got his hands on the Word of God and started to teach from it, he realized some major issues in the church. I wonder if he walked into his Monsignors. I would imagine he had questions too. And so as we know, he was moved by the Lord to translate the Bible from Latin to German, and the rest is history. Now, when the common man finally had access to the Bible, it was only a matter of time before he would read it and walk out of Rome to expose the mystery and the whore for who she was. And that's what Paul's getting at here in his letter to the Thessalonians. But what I find is very odd is how many forgot about all that and they now join hands with Rome, including, of all places, the Seventh-day Adventist Church. I mean, that shocked my socks off when I finally started keeping Sabbath, and years later I discovered how they were working hand-in-hand with the Vatican. I thought, how, of all people? I mean, it's bad enough for the Lutherans to do it. I mean, because they had somewhat of a lot of doctrinal cleansing to figure out, you know, and had Luther lived a little longer, I mean, he was never killed by Rome, but had he lived a little longer, maybe they would have stopped wearing the robes and stopped keeping Sunday. You know, but the Lord had his plans. That was the sixth hour. It was designed to be that way. And so it worked out well. But then, like any other reformer, he dies, and then the church starts going downhill from there. And then, of course, the SDAs came along, but they really went whole hogged into this thing where they got all the truth in Scripture in regards to exposing the man of sin or the son of perdition, as Paul said would happen in our day. And so now everybody knows. But again, that mystery is still being held up as best it can by Roman Catholics and anybody that's politically connected where they're going to get some kind of a benefit for keeping the Pope protected. But that day, it ain't going to last long, especially when the one world government begins. It's going to be very short-lived because it's like the prophet Daniel said, what the Lord showed him in regards to the 10 toes where they were able to mix the metal and the clay together. It just couldn't happen. Iron and clay don't mix. And just like today, even though they do have a one world government on paper, they're still button heads. They can't mix. It's just exactly like the prophecy said. But if you don't open a Bible, you don't see this stuff. So the thing that really hits me as strange is how some in the Roman Church see the decadence and even comment on it, like SDAs do, and still sit in their pews. I mean, take, for example, the quote posted in the study under question 11. It says, the creed of the Pope, Pope Pius the, what is it, the ninth, or sixth, no, I'm sorry, the fourth. Article 10 states, I acknowledge the Holy Apostolic Church for the mother and the mistress of all churches. Well, I guess I didn't put that one up in, or I must have removed it. But anyway, that statement caused an exodus from Rome? No! No one left. I mean, some may say yes when you look at the tens of thousands of denominations but when you look a little closer, yeah, they may have left the Roman Catholic Church, but you see what the Pope saw is in we're still all the churches. They were all still in one with Rome when it comes to spiritual adultery. So that's part two, or point number two in regards to being drunken on the wine of Rome, the wine of lies, because if you let new wine fester or ferment or rot, it's going to confuse the mind. Well, same thing with you know, with spiritual wine. And this is why, that's why the ecumenical charge of today is so effective. When those in sin have leaders that sanctify their sin, they're definitely going to shore up that mystery and keep it as well hidden as possible, because they like, as Isaiah chapter 4 verse 1 says, they like being called Christians to take away their shame. So they're most assuredly going to join hands with them and gather all sinners into their camp with them, because it's just party on, global party. They're just not going to give that up. Only those that love the truth will refuse to join, and in their refusal become those that prophecy said will be hated for Christ's sake. That's us. So be it. That is one fruit we should all seek after. And I hope and pray that you are blessed. I'll be back in a minute.